right, thank you for joining us today. If you would stand, we'll continue with our song service. Gotta bring my Bible closer. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." Thankful for a King of Kings that we can have a personal relationship with today. Brother Lyons, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come to the house of worship. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Good to be home.
Please join us in singing hymn number 243, Victory of Jesus.
Oh,
would stand once again, we'll sing hymn number 374, Send the Light.
Trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through, like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good.
Stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 288, I Am Resolved No Longer to Linger.
Thank you. yet not welcome any pain. Shall I thank you for days of sunshine, yet grumble in days of rain? Shall I love you in times of plenty, then leave you in days of drought? Shall I trust when I reap a harvest, but when winter winds blow then doubt? Oh, let your will be done in me, in your love I will abide. Are you good only when I prosper, and true only when I'm filled? Are you king only when I'm carefree, and God only when I'm well? You are good when I'm poor, true when I'm parched and dry. You still reign in the deepest valley, you're still God in the darkest night. Oh, let your will be done in me, in your love I will abide. My restless heart in you. Oh, let your will be done in me, in your love I will abide. How I long for nothing else as long as you are glorified. Lord, in my life be glorified. What
a song. You know how many times we want to thank God when everything's good. We forget. You know, we also need the suffering. That's where we grow the most. It is our honor to have the Zanes with us, our newest missionaries. And we just voted to take them on at the end of Sunday school class. And so thankful to have them representing us in the field of New Zealand. And so we praise God for it. Ask Brother Zane if he would come and preach for us today. God bless you.
Welcome to the team. We're honored to represent you in the field of New Zealand. It is a team effort. Can't be done alone. And we appreciate your support. Pick up a prayer card, because though we need money, we need prayers. So remember to pray for us as we will arrive on the field. We'll leave November the 28th on Tuesday, and we will fly for 15 hours, and we will arrive on Thursday. So that's across the date line. Really weird. When you come home, back to the States, you arrive before you left almost. And so that's very, very different down there. If I were staying in the States and living in this area, I'd definitely come to your church. Awesome, guys. You may know what you've got here, but you've got a good deal. I'm not talking about pastor. Yeah, you got a good deal there too. Especially his wife. You know, that's what I tell him. That's it's my wife that wins all the love and the favor. So that's good. But the excitement, music, and just looking around, as I did, and seeing everybody singing, that you've got something good. Excitement of the Lord, and I just commend you for that, because believe me, we're in a lot of churches, and it's not always one that I'd probably want to join, but thank you, Brother Kevin, for having me come today. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Missionaries come through, and I'm sure a lot of us preach the same sermons or close to it. And so this one's probably not new for you. And when you open it up, Isaiah chapter 6, you'll probably immediately know where I'm going to, because I said this morning I'm going to be challenging you to be faithful and obedient to the call of God upon your life. Wherever God chooses to use you, to send you, whatever the call is upon your life, be obedient. Be faithful. As we saw in the life of Abraham, what God can do when individuals are obedient and faithful. We shared some things about the field and how God blessed when we are faithful and obedient to His call. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that today from Isaiah chapter 6. Again, probably a familiar portion of Scripture. Isaiah the prophet, he says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." Uzziah was a good king. Began ruling at about age 16 and till about age 52. Didn't end quite so well, because the Bible says that, well, he kind of got high on himself and all of his success, and he went in the temple to offer up incense. And at the end of his reign, God struck him with leprosy, and he died. So when the king dies, Isaiah says he sees the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Now, I'm not quite sure the dying of Uzziah and Isaiah seeing the Lord, how it totally fits together. Because he was a good king, because he accomplished a lot, maybe people got their eyes on the king a little bit too much. And maybe that's why he was so popular, he was well-liked. He got a little high on himself as a king. It caused him to lose his life. But all we know is that when Uzziah died, this vision comes, this vision comes to Isaiah. Now, in actuality, he sees three visions. He sees three things after the death of Uzziah. And the first thing, the first vision he sees is the Lord, high and lifted up upon His throne. Again, maybe a little bit of comparison there. Here's Uzziah sitting on the throne of Judah, and here's the Lord over here, and this one dies, but this one's eternal. Who should we have our eyes on, you know? I mean, no matter who our leader is here and how great they are, what we might think they are human, they will die, they will make mistakes. But our God is eternal, and He forever sits on His throne. His power exceeds all others. That's the reference here to His train filled the temple in this vision. It is said that the length of a king's train identified and said a lot about his power and how great he was. In fact, it is said that when a king conquered another, they would often clip off part of that king's trail train and sow it to theirs. So the longer it got, greater they were, at least in their eyes. So Isaiah sees the Lord high and seated upon the throne. Sometimes I think we just need to be reminded of who God is. Just who He is. And His holiness. His goodness. His faithfulness. Who He is. Because we can, you know, sometimes familiarity. You know, we hear the same old sermons sometimes, the same old scripture, we read the same. And it can become kind of just, oh yeah, yeah, that, yeah, I know that about God. That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. And maybe sometimes, well, you know, it's easy to look here this way. It really is. It's easy to look this way. It takes a little more work to look that way. But yet, isn't that where our focus should be? Isn't that where we should be looking? We should be looking to the heavenlies. After all, that's where we're citizens. That's our home, right? He's our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ sits and makes intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Our focus, man, I tell you, I look around some of the things going on in this world, you get very discouraged. Very, very discouraged about the direction of the world. Not just the country, the world. I have to be reminded, they're all going to die, but He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. That's who I need to look to. I need to acknowledge Him. Verse number 2, above it stood seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. 4 wings, symbol of humility over the face and the feet. Humble as we stand in the presence of God. But then the other 2 were acts of service as he flew around the throne, serving God. And it says in verse number 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy. 3 times. Why 3 times? Well, in the language that the Bible was written in, emphasis was oftentimes made. We kind of use exclamation mark, you know. We put an exclamation mark there. That means, wow, there's a lot of emphasis there. But they would repeat a word. Holy. Oh, wow, that's awesome. He's holy. Holy, holy. Whoa, He's way up there. Holy, holy, holy. That's the top. The writer here is saying, God is holier than all. God is greater than all. Look at the train that filled the temple. He's more powerful than all. He is the God of gods. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. This is not... Listen, we just don't serve another God. There are a lot of gods. We serve the Almighty Living God. And Isaiah is getting on track here. He sees this vision. He sees this seraphim. He hears the holy, holy, holy. So his focus now is coming back into view. He's seeing God now, not Uzziah, not everything that's going on around him. He is focused totally on God. That's his first vision. In verse number 5, we see the second. And that is, he sees himself. He sees himself. Look at it. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. He sees himself. We're warned in the New Testament about comparing ourselves one to another. Because, you know, when we compare ourselves one to another, I'll pick on Brother Jim again. I love them. I love him to death. But when I compare myself to Brother Jim, I'm a pretty good dude. For those that don't know, they were in my church in Emporia. Sherry and the girls grew up there while we were there. And then our youth department. So I could pick on him. But we're warned against that, aren't we? We don't compare ourselves one to another. Because generally we'll pick somebody worse than us and say we're pretty good. But if we look the other way, there's probably somebody better than us. But God warns against that. And really, we should be comparing ourselves in relationship to God. He's our standard. The Lord Jesus Christ is our standard. That's how we're supposed to be living. After all, we are Christians, right? Where'd that phrase come from? Antioch? Because the people were acting so much like Christ? The world coined that word and said, they're like Christ. That's our standard. Now, we're sinners, granted. But I don't like to leave it there. Because I am a sinner saved by grace. And that makes me not just a sinner, that makes me a child of the King. Royal blood. Royal blood. Royal priesthood. Part of the family of God. But we are sinners. We do sin. That's part of the flesh, part of the battle that we have to deal with every day. Paul said, I have to die daily to it. I want to ask you, but how many of you battle with it daily? Sin. Yeah, battle with it daily. That's why Paul said, I have to crucify my flesh. Good thing to do in the morning, first thing in the morning is get up and say, God, I want to crucify my flesh today. I want to live for you. Isaiah says, man, I'm a prophet, but I'm a sinful man. Woe is me. I have unclean lips. And I thought about, why use unclean lips? Because, you know, the lips identify the heart. You realize that? Out of the abundance of the heart, we speak. So when we hear someone speak, when we speak, that is coming from the heart and gives a good idea of what the heart is like. That's what God said, not me. So he looks at his life and he says, you know what? Man, I'm in bad shape. Woe is me. Again, I don't know where Isaiah was totally in his life at this point. He is a prophet and he's preaching, but there's some things there that, at least at this point in life, this vision calls to his mind some things that he's not pleased with. Woe is me. And then he said, third vision here, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That one was probably easier to acknowledge than woe is me. Because, you know, it's just hard to live. You know, it's hard to fly with eagles when you walk with turkeys, you know. Can't soar with them when you're running with turkeys. And so we look around and we blame everything on everybody else. But he acknowledges first, he's sinful. He needs God. And then he says, you know what? I look around and I see the people that I live with. And let's just put it in New Testament terminology. I see them lost without Christ. Now, I know this is a lot of Isaiah's prophecies are predictive, especially Isaiah 53 of the coming of Christ. But let's just put it in New Testament terms. He says, woe is me, I'm a sinner. And the people that I dwell amongst are sinners also. And they're lost. Israel doesn't always walk with God. In fact, some of this speaks to the fact that Israel's fixing to be in trouble with God. because of rebellion and disobedience and not being faithful to God's call upon their life to be a peculiar people, a nation after God's own heart. So, when you think about that, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Look at Romans. Let me just show you something in Romans. Romans chapter 3. Probably very familiar again, especially to those that use Romans as a soul-winning tool. Romans chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse number 10. Now this speaks of where we're at today. All right? This is a New Testament writing by the Apostle Paul. He speaks about the Christians, the people of the day. And he says in verse 10 of chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Well, we see more and more of that, don't we, in our world today? They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, listen, Isaiah looked at the people around him, Israel, the nation of God. And he says, woe is me, they're unclean. And we look around today, and surrounding this church are people of unclean lips. People that this description in Romans identifies them. They are lost without Christ. Bitterness, destruction, evil. They don't seek after God. So where does that leave us? Well, let's go back to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah. Verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I'll tell you, I like that because when you and I get a good glimpse of God, it'll change our lives. It will. He goes through a time of purging here, confession here. He says the serpent flies, live coal, puts it on his tongue, which is a symbol of cleansing for him. He's confessed his failures. He's confessed that he's a man of unclean lips. The coal is placed there. He's purged. He's cleaned. And now, what happens? He's ready. He's acknowledged. I got issues. God has cleansed me. Is that where you're at today? You realized you were a sinner? Need of Christ? You asked Christ to come into your life, He forgave you? What next? Well, look at it. I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That should be our response to the condition of the world. Lord, you've saved me, cleansed me, and with salvation, you have called me to go into the world and preach the gospel. So he hears the Lord. Whom shall I send? And Isaiah, listen, I believe out of gratitude for what God had done for him, in hearing his cry, cleansing his life, out of gratitude, when God said, whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. That should be our response to the world that is around us. God who saved us is calling us to to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, I was thinking about this sermon today, and my wife does a devotional here, and she said, Zane, you need to read this. Now, she had no idea, because actually, this is a new sermon for her. You know, missionary wives can preach their husband's sermon normally because they've heard it 500,000 times, because the same one over and over. And I said, Cindy, in fact, you've got 2 weeks in a row. Man, you should be growing, really growing in the Lord. She got a new one last week and getting a new one today. But she didn't know what I was studying about. And she gave me this, and I read it. And I told her, I said, I need that book for my sermon. Because the writer says this. He says, Christ's commission to the disciples is His commission to the church and His plan for the life of every single believer. No one has been chosen to be just a recipient of the redemptive work of His kingdom. No, everyone who has been chosen to be a recipient has also been commissioned to be an instrument of the work of that kingdom as well. The work of evangelism, the spiritual growth work of the church, and the cause of worldwide missions was never designed by the Redeemer to be shouldered by a small collection of paid religious professionals. We are saved to go out. In John chapter 1, the Bible says there was a man sent from God. His name was John. And the Bible says that he went out to bear witness of the light. Now, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist, cousin of Jesus, forerunner of Christ, came on the scene to begin to introduce the world and then has the privilege at the baptism to say, there he is. This is the one I've been telling you about that's coming. He was sent from God with a purpose. John chapter 20 and verse number 21, Jesus is speaking. And he says this, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. You see, when you and I came to a place of realizing that we needed forgiveness from God, we confessed that and we invited Him into our life to be our Savior. Along with that came a call to take this message to the world, beginning in Jerusalem. Because if you go to Acts chapter 1, I like this word sent and send and everything. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, what does it say? But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's at salvation. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will be witnesses for me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and the uttermost. That's to be our response. Out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. Out of looking at a world that is so lost and dark without Christ. Isaiah saw the Lord. It changed his life. He volunteered to go to a people that needed Christ. They needed the message of the coming Messiah. The Messiah has come. We are saved. We owe the world that message. We owe our lives to the one that gave his life for us, and he has sent us out into the world, beginning in Jerusalem right here and then spreading around the world. Isaiah looked at his people and he said, wow, they're so unclean. They need hope. They need help. I look at the world. We have people, Cindy and I do. We pray every morning together. And we have people on our prayer list that need Christ. We pray every day that either we have the opportunity, because we're not around them all the time, or somebody will take the message of Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing, folks. If they don't come to the Christ that we know, that saved us, their destiny is not pretty. Because it says in Revelation 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the end of a life without Christ. When we look and see what God has done for us, should not we have a desire to go to the world and share with them that truth? You say, well, I just don't know that I can. Another sermon I do preach is, for anybody to say they can't witness is to deny the power of God. Now, we don't say it that way all the time. But for any one of God's children to stand up and say, well, I just can't witness, I can't do it, is to deny the power of God. Why? Because he said in Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. You've been saved? The very power of God lives within you, and you can do all things through him. And one of the most important things we can do is evangelize the world. Starting with your neighbor, starting with someone at the grocery store, your mechanic, wherever you go. The next time you're there, I want you to look into their eyes, and I want you to realize they're going to heaven or hell. Ultimately, the lake of fire. They're going there. Shouldn't we at least give them the opportunity to hear the message? So claim the power of God that is given to you so that you can be a witness and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. We're not the light, but we sure have the light in us, don't we? And we're to bear witness of that light to the world. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I'm sure all of us know someone that does not know Christ. They're in the world. There are people of unclean lips. They're lost. Maybe you're here today in that condition. I never take for granted that everybody I preach to in a new church is saved. But if you're not today, I'm telling you, you're in bad shape. You're lost without Christ. And you need to come to Him and receive the forgiveness that He offers. The Father says, come. Jesus says, come. The Spirit says, come. The church says, come to Christ today. And as we think about our neighbors, our friends, what about our grandchildren? What about our grandchildren? Do you know they're saved? I've had grandparents tell me, well, I just don't want to push it because my kids may take my kids, their grandkids away from me. They may not let them come stay with me. So I just kind of keep quiet about it. What a sad testimony to have them in this life and lose them in eternity. Our friends, our family. People need Christ. That's why we're going to New Zealand. You say, aren't people lost here in America? Oh, yeah. God has specifically called us to take the gospel to New Zealand. Told you in our slides, our first goal, preach the gospel. It is the hope of all mankind. We have the answer. Father, as Isaiah said, send me. I ask you to send us out today, that we'd be willing to volunteer and say, send us out into the highways and the byways to compel people to come in, to share the gospel with them. Wherever you place us, that's where we're to be a witness. I pray today there'd be a great harvest of souls because your people have said, send me. I'll go. We ask your will to be done in everybody's life today, the ones that are here. We pray that they would commit, they'd be faithful, they'd be obedient to the call, go into the world. If there's one here without Christ, today we pray will be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? We sing a verse of invitation together. Decisions. I've decided to follow Jesus. We make decisions every day. May it be to follow Christ. Sing the next verse. Let me ask you this. You know someone that's lost? You know someone that needs Christ? Well, they that sow in tears will come again rejoicing. One of the best places to start is on your knees. Pray for that individual. Pray. You know, some people, I think, get afraid of the altar because they think if they come to the altar, people are going to say, I wonder what they did last night that they need to confess. No. This is a good place to start. Here, at your home, devotion times, start praying for the lost that are in your life. That's where you start. So maybe you don't need to come forward, but right where you're sitting, you know that person. Call that name. And ask for opportunity and power to be a witness as we sing the last verse together this morning.
A few things from the bulletin as we get ready to dismiss. First of all, I'd like to invite the Edwards to go to their table so people can greet them. You can get a prayer card from them, and remember to pray for them when you see it. And he'll be speaking at the 1 o'clock hour, and so encourage you to come back at 1. From our bulletin, I want to remind you we have YouthCon coming up. Pray for the kids that are on the road this week going to Oklahoma City. And that is a well-attended event. There'll be kids from all over the United States there. Please be praying that God would work and have his will done in the lives and the hearts of the young people that are there. Saturday will be outreach at 9 o'clock on the August 5th. So if you can come out and help us with outreach, that'd be a blessing. Men's Recharge, 22nd through 23rd. Information there in the bulletin. Revival, Brother Wells, will be September 24th through the 27th. You want to make sure you have that on your calendar. I know it would be a blessing to you. And then under the prayer needs, ask that you'd remember to pray for the Yarnell family as Miss Rosie passed away. Good to see Paul here today. We've been praying for Paul Durham. Praise God he's able to be with us today. Keep praying for him. And then some of you may have caught that Miss Gail Gladen's mom was involved in an auto accident. I see Brother Mike's here today, and she totaled out a car and broke her wrist and some other things. Be praying for Miss Gail's mom. I know she would appreciate those prayers. Let's go to Lord in word of prayer as we dismiss today. God bless you for being here. Brother Jared, why don't you come up and close us in prayer. Brother Jared's, praise the Lord for Brother Jared being home this summer and working with us, summer intern. And he's taught me a lot. I hope I've been able to teach him something. And we sure praise God for him being here. And so, Brother Jared, if you would.
Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this time that we've had in your house and for the challenging messages we've heard, Lord. Just help us to go out and be witnesses of you as you have saved us for that purpose, Lord. Help us to do that and just help us have a great time at lunch. Help bring us back safely and to be challenged by your word again. Pray this all in Jesus' name, pray. Amen.